Good to be here this morning. Appreciate the presence of each one. Our topic this morning is a little bit out of the ordinary, but then your speaker's a little bit out of the ordinary too, so I guess that figures. Our topic is like the other nations or a peculiar people. Like the other nations or a peculiar people. Begin to think about last night what I was going to talk about this morning. And my first reaction was, well, what is there left for me to say after a good meeting like we had this past week, Brother Todd Creighton? And I got thinking about, well, I'm going to just talk about what's on my heart this morning. And there are a lot of things going on in our world today that makes me feel kind of afraid. Not afraid in eternal sense or spiritual sense or in relationship with God, but afraid of what may be happening in our nation and our world around us. Afraid for the welfare of the people that are here. And the thing is that, among other things and other movements that are taking place in our world today, I don't know how much you've heard about this one, but I've been hearing that the UN and some knowledgeable world leaders have decided that what's causing all this war and conflict and strife in the world is different people thinking their religion and their way of life is the only way that'll do. And they don't want to make concession to the people that believe otherwise. And so I guess, that's pretty much true. But their solution to it is all this political correctness we see in our society today. And they've even drawn up a document with regulations on how to bring up children. And their suggestion is that the states, they call the different, all the different nations that they represent, the states, that they pass legislation to have parents bring up children in a broad-minded way where they won't be filled with hatred or ill will toward those that disagree with them. And I think one generation of practicing that, and then we'll have a big utopia and people stop fighting each other and it'll just be lovely. But you read this thing and you can get on the internet and find it if you want to read it. What it amounts to is that parents and school teachers, but school teachers have already been in this boat, now they're going to get parents in it, have got to bring up children and teach them all the different religions and customs, all the major religions and customs of the world, and teach the children that not that one's right and that the other's wrong. Maybe if we're Christians, Christianity is what works for us, and Buddhism works for these people, and Hinduism works for these people, and Islam works for these people. And it's not that there's one right and the other's wrong. They're all equal, just whatever suits you. And, of course, the same goes through, holds true with we want to have a family consisting of a mama and a daddy and what's the average? 1.5 kids or 2.5 kids or whatever. That's the way we like it, and that works for us. But if somebody else wants to have two mamas and another family wants to have two daddies or whatever, that's what works for them. And it's all equally good and well, just whatever works for them. And that's the way that kids are supposed to be brought up and taught all these things. Well, somebody said, well, that's the UN, so we don't have to listen to them. Well, hold on a minute. some of our legislators are wanting to pass this thing as a law in our nation. And they say that if they pass it as a law, they're going to enforce it. And there's going to be a $10,000 fine to parents that are caught teaching kids contrary to this doctrine. And to enforce it, they're going to give these rules to all the welfare workers and social workers in all the communities down in the grassroots of our country. And any kid that's questioned and found out that his parents or his or her parents have taught them contrary to this, they're going to slap them with this $10,000 fine. If the parents won't straighten up and fly right, they'll take the kids away from them. Just like if they were beating them or abusing them somewhat. Isn't that lovely? Well, you know, God said in 1 Corinthians 15:33, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." New Revised Standard Version says, "Be not deceived," or "do not be deceived, bad company ruins good morals." And Brother Dub was talking about the E Pluribus Unum that's on our coins, our currency, and it means something like out of one or out of many one or something like that. And of course we know that we're made up of a melting pot of different societies and social circles and races and that sort of thing in America. But you know, when they founded this country and secured our independence from England, one of the primary reasons for that was to get away from religious dictation and the church state that was being forced on everybody. And so we came here, the pilgrims came here seeking freedom to practice our religion the way we deemed right according to the Bible. And some people say our president says this is not a Christian country, nor a Jewish country, nor a Muslim country, nor an atheist country, but it's a little bit of both, or all of it. And I'm wondering if the bad company's not working on the character here. We've never been a perfect society, I know that, realize that. But I believe we've been a lot closer to God in the past than we are now. And we in America and the Western world have been richly blessed. People talk about, well, what is the reason? What is the cause? What is the influence that has made America so rich and so powerful and so affluent and so technologically advanced and all this? And some people say, well, it's our freedom. Some people say, no, it's our Constitution. And some people say, well, it's just the American spirit, the entrepreneurism that's been cultivated by our system of government and our way of life. And I know all these things probably play a part, but I believe that we've become a great people because God's blessed us. Amen. And some people say, well, we've never been all that holy. That's true, but if you go look and read the Old Testament, you'll find out that God's people of old have never been all that perfect either. But nevertheless, God has blessed us. And I'm wondering how much longer that blessing is going to continue if we keep embracing all these foreign ideas and theories and religions and ways of life. Proverbs 22:24, "Make no friendship," Solomon said, "with an angry man. And with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul." Sometimes when you learn the ways of other people, it doesn't do you any good. It does you harm. It becomes a snare to your soul. In Exodus 23, God says out to his people of old, I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea even unto the Sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. So when God gave the children of Israel these other lands and other countries to take over, he said, you drive them out before. You don't just go in and commingle with them, but you drive them out. I wonder why God wanted them to be so cruel. Why couldn't they just go and move into land and go in and coexist with the previous inhabitants of that land? God explains. Verse 32 of Exodus 23. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee. Well, that sounds awfully cruel, doesn't it? But God says that, you know, you become, you socialize with these people too much. Next thing you know, you'll be taking up their heathen ways. You'll be worshiping their gods. And certainly that's not politically correct to talk like that, but that's what God told them. In Jeremiah 12:16, it shall come to pass if they will diligently learn the ways of my people to swear by my name. He's talking about the heathen, the idol worshippers and the Baal worshippers and so forth. It'll come to pass if they will diligently learn the ways of my people to swear by my name, the Lord liveth. As they taught my people to swear by Baal, then shall they be built in the midst of my people. So he's saying if these foreign people here, they want to come and learn your ways and forget swearing by their false gods and swear by Jehovah God and say, as the Lord lives, I'll do this or that, in their solemn oath, then they can live here. They can live with among my people. Verse 17 of Jeremiah 12, but if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, says the Lord. So God's getting pretty specific about it. He says, if you won't go along with this, and you go and take up these heathen customs and all this and ways of life and these foreign people, then I'll just destroy the nation. In Deuteronomy 6:14, ye shall not go after other gods or the gods of the people which are around about you, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. So God was pretty plain about it, wasn't he? Deuteronomy 7, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto thy son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shalt ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, and break down their images, and cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. So it gives them a pretty stern warning, doesn't it, about taking up the religious customs and ways of life of these heathen people. Deuteronomy 13. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice to thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods which thou hast not known, thou and thy fathers, namely the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto you, or far off from you, from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth, thou shalt not consent unto them, nor hearken unto them. Neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. thou shalt stone him with stones that he die, because he has sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Now, I'm not saying that's the thing that should be practiced in this day and time. You know, God's remedy for a lot of things back then was stoning and putting people to death. That's not the way that Christianity works. The way that Christianity works is for us to be a separate people and hopefully reach out and influence those people that are worshiping other gods and that sort of thing. Hopefully rescue them and save them, but not to accept their gods and their ways as being just as viable and just as good as those of us who have and hold to the truth. And then Judges 2, also that generation were gathered unto their fathers, in other words, they were dead and gone. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Asherah. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them. He sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Wherefore they went out. When they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. So God had been with them for good, blessed them in everything they put their hand to. But they got mixed up with these foreign gods and foreign ways of worship, and God said, my hand's going to be with you for hurt now instead of blessing. And 1 Kings 11. We know the story of King Solomon. It says King Solomon loved many strange women. That doesn't mean weird women. It means foreign women. Together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Zidonians, and the Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord had said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you, for surely they will turn away your heart from heart after other gods. Solomon clave unto these in love, and he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. You know, Solomon, Jesus said he was the wisest man that ever lived up until that point, up until the time Christ came, the wisest ordinary human that ever been. But he got in trouble, didn't he? His wives turned away his heart. Verse 4 it says, for it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after these other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord as did David his father. And he goes on to tell how that he accommodated these foreign women by building places of worship for them to worship their foreign gods. So, in God's sight, one God wasn't as good as another. One religion wasn't as good as another, was. In Ezekiel 11:12, ye shall know, the Lord says, that I am the Lord, for ye have not walked in my statutes, neither executed my judgments, but have done after the manner of the heathen that are round about you. Back in the Old Testament time, some of these pagan religions were even sacrificing people, human sacrifices. It wasn't unpopular for them to sacrifice children to Baal or to Moloch. And the Bible talks about it as making the children pass through the fire. They didn't do like Houdini, walked through the coals barefoot, you know. That's not what he meant by passing through the fire. What he meant was being burnt offering. They offered these kids as burnt offering. And it says in 2 Kings 16, 20 years old was Ahaz when he began to reign, and reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord his God, like David his father. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, yea, and made his son to pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel. So even he even sacrificed his own son. to Moloch. But you know, we are being told to bring up our children to believe that one God is just as good as another, one way of worship and one religion is just as good as another. And I'll tell you something, we as Christians are going to have to quit bickering among ourselves over these little petty squabbles that we've been squabbling about for the past 100 and 200 years or whatever. And we're going to have to get together and support God against the false gods instead of squabbling among ourselves about little petty things, because it's coming to that. I want to read you just a little bit about this thing, what it says. And I don't have time to read much. Let me read just a little bit about how we're supposed to teach our children. So, it is a good idea to teach about religion. If it is a good idea to teach about religion, how should it be done? The best way of going about this is to simply be as fair and objective as possible. You should explain, using age-appropriate materials, just what it is that people believe. You should also strive to teach about as many religions as possible, rather than stick just to the dominant religion in your culture. All of these beliefs should be explained side by side, even including the beliefs from ancient religions, now usually treated as mythology. As long as you don't privilege any one religion above another, then your children shouldn't either. When your children are old enough, it might also be a good idea to take them to the worship services of different religious groups so that they can see for themselves just what it is that people do. There's no substitute for first-hand experience, and someday they may wonder what it's like inside a church, a synagogue, or a mosque. Better that they find out with you so that you can both discuss it afterwards. If you're afraid that by teaching about religion, you will also be teaching them to have faith in some religion, you shouldn't be too concerned. Your children may find this or that religion to be very interesting, but the fact that you are presenting so many faiths as equals, with none deserving of any more credence than any other, makes it very unlikely that they will uncritically adopt any of those faiths in the same manner as a child who is raised specifically to follow a particular religious education or tradition. And I want to discuss with you about one religion. I took this from National Geographic. And the head of the article is, "Rats Rule at Indian Temple." Sharon Ganup and Nicholas Regia, June 29, 2004. Says, "The floors are a living tangle of undulating fur. Small brown blurs scurry across marble floors. Thousands of rats dine with people and scamper over their feet. It may sound like a nightmare from New York City subway to some, but in India's small northwestern city of Deshnok, this is a place of worship. Rajasthan's famous Karni Mata Temple. This ornate, isolated Hindu temple was constructed by Maharaja Ganga Sain in the early 1900s as a tribute to the rat goddess Karni Mata. Intricate marble panels line the entrance of the floors, and silver and gold decorations are found throughout." You heard me right. I did say rat goddess. "But by far the most intriguing aspect of the interior is the 20,000 odd rats that call this temple home. These holy animals are called Kabas, and many people travel great distances to pay their respects." So you got to bring up your kids to tell them, now that's just as good as worshiping the God that created heaven and earth. That's just as good. It works for these people, so don't knock it. What in the world are we coming to, friends and brethren? And not only religions, but lifestyles. elementary school teachers nowadays are being shown a film called It's Elementary. And in this film, they're shown how to present alternative lifestyles. I'm not going to get graphic, but we all know what we're talking about. As good and acceptable to grammar school children. Now, grammar school, didn't you? I said elementary school. And at one point in this film, the children are played a song from The Lion King. And the teacher asked the kids who it is singing this song. And when they answer Elton John, then the teacher informs them that Elton John embraces an alternate lifestyle and starts telling them about it. He explains it to them. And the film glorifies alternate lifestyles. And it says that some, especially Christians, who oppose these alternate lifestyles and conclude that Christianity is dangerous to a child's mental health because it causes people to look down on these people that practice alternate lifestyles. And in the movie, It's Elementary, a young boy says, Christians believe that homosexuality is a sin. And then he adds sarcastically, so let's torture and kill them. Thus depicting Christianity as a religion of hate and intolerance and something bad. And this is what's supposed to guide the school teachers in teaching elementary school kids in our country, in our school system. And even kids' cartoons are taking it on to teach acceptance of alternate lifestyle. I don't know if it's aired yet or not, but a few months back, a regular character on The Simpsons was scheduled to come out in an episode that's to feature or was to feature a same-sex marriage. Homer is supposed to marry the couple, and his daughter Lisa supports the couple's relationship. And thus, even in the cartoons, kids are being taught to believe that two moms or two dads, rather than a mom and a dad, is normal. And if it's what works for these people, then that's just as good as any. Well, what happened to what God said in 2 Corinthians 6:17? Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. What happened to that? Well, that's not politically correct, brothers and sisters. How can we be separate and be conformist at the same time? God says, Romans 12, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed or changed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're called on to be a peculiar people. 1 Peter 2:9. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of God who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. But no, we can't teach the kids that we're enlightened and that these things of darkness and worshiping rats and all is unenlightened people. Oh, no. That might make them look down upon them. Might make them sneer at them. Might make them make fun of them. Might make them hate them. Well, we should be explaining to kids that we don't hate the people. We feel compassion towards them because they've been deceived by these things. And we want to share the truth with them. And we don't hate the people that are caught up in alternate lifestyle. No. We want to share God with them and share salvation with them. But to teach them that this is all good and well, just because it works for these other people, it's the same, on the same level as what God says. That's not going to work, friends and brethren. I don't see it working. And I don't see God's blessing continuing on a country that accepts and endorses such a philosophy. We're supposed to be a peculiar people. That doesn't mean a bunch of weirdos. No, it means to be a separate people, chosen people, God's people. Are you ready to be just that today if you're not already? Because God's the ruler of the universe. Jehovah God is. The cows aren't. The rats aren't. Well, some places they take over, I guess. But God's the ruler of the universe. And I want to be on His side, don't you? If you're not a Christian today, place your faith in Christ. Realize that He died in your place on Calvary. Repent of your sin. Confess that faith. Be baptized to be added to the Lord's church. And then live as a Christian life. Lend your influence to help enlighten those who are worshiping false gods and are caught up in false ways. As a Christian, you've wandered away and you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. We're here to pray with you and for you. If we can help you, won't you come while we stand, while we sing?